Boy, this thing is
We
slow.
need like.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the May the 4th episode of the 1973 podcast. A little bit of technical difficulties on my part, so I'm going to have to swim these seas without the professor and without your host. So let's get rolling. Want to mention 20% off the store this week. And if you are out there and you want to sponsor the podcast, let us know. We will get you on the show and mention you every week on the show. Ed, do you want to touch on that a little bit before we get into the email?
What did you want me to touch on, sir?
Well, just if there's any buddy out there that wants to
Oh
sponsor.
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know. These politically correct times, you know, when people ask you to touch on stuff. So I just
Yep.
wanted you to make sure that you were, very specific, you know. So no, we're looking for a paying sponsor just to kind of cover our costs for Zoom, and that way we can increase our viewership and to increase our production value and make us look and sound a little bit better. So anybody available, not looking for millions and millions of dollars by any means of imagination. But we are currently couch fishing, and couch fishing only produces every quarter every now and again. So any help would be greatly appreciated.
So Ed, how about we start off with our usual email of the week? A good one.
All right, the email of the week, it is brought to you by Goongar, Goongar.com. Check them out. Great mouthpieces. You can customize them and everything like that, and they're great. So come to a bag, and they're a great company, and they really are a huge supporter of the podcast. So check them out. The discount code is 1973, which should take a little bit off the cost and pretty much take care of shipping. So check them out, goongard.com. Check them out. All right, this one is coming from sunny FLA. This is about the Skrutz comment, which. Thank you, Sherry from Florida. Not sure if this email gets you. I wanted to know what your thoughts were on John Cooper's Skrutz comment. I noticed that you posted about it on Facebook. All right, gentlemen, take it away.
Chris, want to take that one? John Cooper's comments after they were eliminated by Florida.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to hurt any feelings, Sherry or anybody else, but I'm old school, you know. I make jokes like that all the time. My wife laughs at them. She's old school too, you know what I mean? So I know that's time and things are different. Women's hockey's coming up big as well, you know. So was it kind of maybe not good timing? Possibly, but to me, I'm okay with it.
Do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, I think in a little bit of this day and age, and I'm a little on the old school side, but also this guy has a high profile job. He's in front of media. He's standing in front. He probably, the moment he said it, he was probably trying to wish he could reel it back in. It was dumb, and that comment is really just. It shows that, he's a bit out of touch in that way, right? You have the old coaches are starting to kind of go the way of the dodo bird, where you could, remember, Bobby Knights and the others, where you'd be smacking them, yell at them, all of that sort. You got to find other ways to motivate. Basically, calling people girls or something like that. That's just, you can't pull that off anymore.
Brad, how about our thoughts on that comment? I sent it to you so that you could weigh in on it.
I mean, when I first heard about it, I was expecting like something really egregious and super highly offensive. And all he said was, something about goalies wearing, so might as well put them in skirts. I don't have daughters, so I wasn't particularly offended. I do get the point of the feminists and our uproar coming after him for it. And I do like that he did have the balls to apologize for it, even though I don't think he really should have. I mean, there's far worse things he could have said, if we're being honest, if he wanted to trigger the feminist movement. I think NHL is where we're seeing the beginnings. It's the scales are starting to tip. They're starting to hit that wokeness that they've avoided, faithfully for so long. And if we're apologizing for a goalies wearing skirts comment, I mean, come on. There's way more offensive things he could have said to offend that crowd. I don't know, Andy. I mean, you have a daughter that plays hockey and is really excelling in the sport. I mean, were you offended? Was she offended? I want to hear your perspective more than anything.
Well, before I weigh in with Ed, because I'm sure he's got something good to say. Listen, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that I guess it's on a sliding scale. I'm one of the older people that have kids at that age. So I'm not offended. I'm a fan of 80s comedy and all those fun movies, Stripes, Porky's, and all that stuff. So I get the sarcasm. I get the backhanded type of humor that comes with it, and maybe emotions get the best of some of these guys. But I do agree with Scotty that when you do have a high profile job and you want to keep that, I think you gotta kind of, you know, choose your words carefully. I know emotions get in the way, especially after, you know, you lose or you win. So everything's so under the microscope. Everybody's looking to kind of pick apart everything rather than, you know, kind of just roll with it. So I'm good with it. If it was on a lower level, but you can't, I guess you really can't be saying stuff like that on TV, especially, like I said, in a high profile job. I agree with the Bobby Knight analogy. And I mean, they're a dying breed, and I don't know if it's a good thing for sports or not, but you see the players have changed. Players don't play through injuries anymore like they used to. Yeah, I guess you could pick that one up, Pop. But for me, I'm okay with the comment. Just it's tough when it comes from that high of a level of coach. Mm-hmm. Ed, what do you got?
Well, since most of us come from the sticks and stones, may break my bones and names will never hurt me kind of crowd, it's a little bit weak, to be quite honest with you. The first thing I will say is to say, yeah, maybe it's a little bit out of touch, but you know, the man did just lose a playoff series where the league office in Toronto pulled two goals off the board on him for really, if you really look at it, and if you want to watch the film, neither really was goalie interference at all. So he kind of has a point there. He's probably, you know, if I know anything about coaching or coaches or anything like that, probably he kind of thought that it would kind of bring a little bit more attention to the taking the two goals off the board than catching heat himself. I think he does have a point where goalies are becoming like quarterbacks in the NFL now. You can't even breathe near them. And I think that there's a problem with that. Do I think that some of the old methods of coaching where, you know, it's pretty much where, you know, we rule with an iron fist and we hammer the hell out of you guys and girls? Yeah, that probably is a little bit, things are changing a little bit and that type of thing. And some of the things that back in the day, they don't go so well. But I would say that, you know, that I don't think his comments were all that hurtful. I do kind of feel like that, you know, he probably could have chose some different words, but I will say that I think he definitely got everybody's eyes on the NHL. So, you know, it's a win-win. You know, good publicity, bad publicity is a win. But in reality, the big thing really that he took that everybody is shying away with, taking the spotlight off of, is the two goals that they pulled off the board, and that changed the game. It took the air out of the sails for the Lightning, and honestly, it lost the series for them. And that's my opinion. You know, I'm all for, you know, everybody having an equal chance and everything like that. But, you know, when you're out on the ice, kind of everything's fair game. And, you know, everybody's kind of emotional after a series, whether you win or lose. And they stuffed the microphone right underneath him after he had two goals pulled off the board in the series.
Yeah, so let's stay rolling with getting into these NHL playoff rounds. We didn't have Scotty last week. We had Keith. Had a couple of guys come on guests and talk some playoff hockey. So let's get into it. Let's stay a little bit with that Tampa series. Thoughts on how that played out at all, Scott?
I think Tampa's time is, you know, it was sad to see, you know, they had that close up of Stamkos and you know, everybody's just watching to see if the tears start coming. You know, Tampa's been so good for so long, and it's just, you know, the Florida series, just they just ran into a beast, right? So you wonder what's going to happen with the future with Tampa. Is this the time where you break it up? I don't know. I think Stamkos is, you know, a Lightning. I don't know if he's, you know, everybody wants to see, you know, kind of talk up the fact that he may go. I don't know. You know, he had that last time, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, when everybody was trying to get him to go and he re-signed. And I don't know if he's going to, I don't think he's going to leave.
I don't think he's going to leave either, but it's tough when you keep that core group together for too long. All of a sudden it becomes the Penguins and you're not winning at all. So it's tough. It's the yin and yang with the way competitive sports are now, especially the NHL, where you have that core, the Duncan Keith, the Taves, and the Kane. And then, you know, at what point do you try to shuffle the deck and try to keep being competitive before you end up, you know, at, yeah, you know. So it is a thing. Chris, thoughts on that series?
Yeah, I mean, it went just as expected for me. I figured Florida would just go in there and grind the shit out of old Tampa. And what the hell happened to Vezilevskiy this year, you know? I drafted him. I drafted him relatively late in my fantasy league because he was out for the first few months with a back surgery, and he's not Vezilevskiy whatsoever. So I think that that definitely didn't help him.
No surprises in the first round. Washington, lived up to what I was saying about them just being happy to be in the playoffs and not deservingly so being in the playoffs. It's the series that's, ran it down to the wire. We're going another game seven is Vegas and Dallas. So that's tomorrow night. They played last night. I think almost all the series are done, except for which series is still going on, Chris? as we're waiting before, thank you. As I'm standing outside of Maple Leaf Gardens, waiting to do this podcast, having technical difficulties, waiting for the 8 o'clock start. We're recording right before. We're trying to get this thing moving. Scotty, thoughts on being in that area right now? You got to give us that perspective.
Yeah. So yeah, just being right here in Toronto, it's they were destroying the team 5-6 days ago. It was people were ready to burn the jerseys again. This, you know, curse. Like it's they were just so killing themselves, and now I can't drive down my street because everybody's got a Leafs jersey outside their windows, and there's garage parties that are happening that are just starting to pick up, and you might even be able to hear them from around here. And it sucks being the only Boston guy living in Toronto for most people, because I can never watch a game on delay because I get a text every my phone. Is what an incredible series. I mean, honestly, it hasn't been an exciting series, low scoring, a lot of dirty play. It's maybe the change to Wall is what they needed. Matthews, there's been a lot of talk up here about Matthews going for 70 and how it hurt the team as a whole because it's been like the sole focus. When in fact, if they really think about their team, they're actually have a pretty good defensive team. When it's more of a focus on them. I didn't think Samsonov, you know, they probably made a good decision moving off Samsonov. I don't think he's, you know, he's a good backup goalie. He's not your starter.
Ed, thoughts on that series before we get to Chris and let him have, his Kleenex and all that other stuff?
Well, I think it's playing out exactly how I called it, didn't it? And if the thing is like if the Bruins lose, this would be not the first, second, but it would be third time that they got bounced out. And honestly, I mean, I think it's, you know, I don't think it's really been dirty play. I think it's been good, chippy playoff hockey. I think it's been good old school hockey like it's supposed to be. No quarters given. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, the Toronto coach calling out Marchand and that type. I mean – dude, that's what he's accounting for. I mean, you want guys like that in the league. It keeps it entertaining. You don't want it like these other guys. Well, you know, we got to play well tonight. You know, we're gonna keep the puck in the other guy's zone. And that's boring, man. Like that doesn't sell advertisement on TV. It doesn't promote your really good players. So, quite honestly, I think it's an exciting, exciting game tonight. I think the building's going to be jumping, and you know, I think that the NHL really wants Toronto to win because they have 100,000 people outside Maple Leaf Gardens every single night.
Yeah, Chris, you want to because I'm very animated tonight and very pixelated. Can you
pick me up on this one? Yeah, you hateful Debbie Downing son of a bitches. Listen, all right, it's been a tough 6 games thus far, okay? What I'm not liking is I keep seeing this on social media, which we talked about before we went on. I'm just seeing the same exact pattern that happened last year against the Panthers, them going up 3-1 and then kind of falling apart. And since when did Woll become the best fucking goalie in the NHL? So, not feeling it. I'm not going to lie. Am I nervous? I am. But I think in the end, this beard is looking good, and I think it's going to continue to grow. So we'll see.
Oh, we will see. I was surprised that when I was looking at the schedule, how they threw game 7 on Saturday night on regular ABC TV at 8:00. I thought that was a very, very interesting kind of take. Are they expecting something epic to happen? Is there a script going into this? Is it going to go into OT? Is there something up? But it's going to be interesting to watch it. It should start in about a half an hour. So we're going to push through this. So, usually at this time, I wish I could be on live, but this is the time we usually do Tom's shitty picks. And it's unfortunate that Tom is not here this week. So we're going to have the man himself, pot owner of Rock Street Breweries, our buddy Scotty, do the lead in. And then Bradford got big shoes to fill this week with Thomas not being here. So, Scotty.
All right. All right. I got the script here so I can read it.
A script for your own company. I love it.
Yeah, I got the copy. So, hey, this is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company. In fact, we just had our 9th anniversary last week, and it's been quite amazing. We are located in Whitby, Ontario, just about 45 minutes outside of Toronto. We are a craft brewery and a craft distillery, and you can visit us on www.brockstreetbrewing.com. We have all kinds of different great beers and spirits. We have a really cool flagship location right in the heart of Whitby, the Four Corners, and you can come there for dinner. We have a third floor patio, rooftop patio, and a lot of really, really cool stuff. I got my Rock Street Amber right here, nice Lagerdale. And so I'll turn it over. Brad, over to you.
Let's go. I don't know if I could do this as good as the professor, but let's bring it back to America's first favorite pastime, because I don't know jack shit about hockey, if I'm being honest. So my fantasy pick is going to be a baseball pick, Joey Lupercalo. He plays for the Astros. I know what y'all are thinking. I'm a Rangers fan. Why in the hell would I pick an Astros player? I fucking hate the Astros. But this kid has a lot of upside. Low floor, high ceiling type of player. The Astros are struggling. They are absolute rock bottom garbage trash. I'm not saying that because I hate them. I'm saying it because they actually have a really bad record. They are struggling. They're an aging baseball team. Their players are not doing very well. Abreu got busted down to the minors to get his timing back. They have had an absolute horrendous start to the season. So I think Joey has a really high potential to get in some reps. He's going to he hit well in college. He hit well in AAA. I know it's a little bit of adjustment in major leagues, but if you're playing fantasy baseball and you need a desperate play, I'm talking like deep sleeper potential. I think this guy can bring it. If you have a roster spot and you just want to stash somebody because he's going to have a breakout year, I think this is the guy. Same difference. Go ahead and grab him if you can. That's what I got. Brock Street Brewery.
Love it. What I like about Scotty's social media for Brock Street is they're always posting. So if you follow them on Facebook, you'll see mostly all the new stuff that's coming out. And I follow it pretty religiously, so I can stay in the loop with mentioning new things, Scotty. So speaking of that, let's switch on to something that we've been talking about adamantly this season, the Dark Side of the Ring episode with the Sandman. Ed, you want to take that?
Sandman.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I thought it was probably one of the best ones that they've actually ever done. Seeing him for the first time at the Waltham Armory, I believe. That's where we went to. It was Waltham, right, Andy?
Yeah, Waltham. Yep.
Yeah, it was in Waltham. Yeah, we went to go see ECW for the first time collectively as a group and saw Sandman, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? And watching Darkstar, and he had a great stage presence, you know, really kind of, he really got the crowd popping. You know, I did not know that he was a Chippendales dancer, and I did not know that, just kind of went down that same path that they all seem to do that, but to see the guy live, and, you know, he really brought a lot of excitement and stuff like that, and to see how he started off as a surfer. With, you know, he wore a wetsuit and brought a surfboard to the ring and that type of thing. That's something I didn't know about him. All I remember him is, you know, having the cane and, busting his head open with the beer cans. Probably for a house show, probably one of the guys that had one of the biggest pops I've ever seen in a house show.
Chris, thoughts on that Dark Side?
Yeah, this was one of my favorites, honestly. This guy got me hooked right from the beginning, like absolute certified badass, just the way he was like, I'm Sandman, what the fuck is up? I was just this guy's awesome already. No, it was a great episode. Wild the shit that he put his body through, all the blood. He was just, like I said, just the absolute badass. What was it? Hack, was it his nickname? Yeah, Hack. Yeah, no, it was great. The OD part of it was crazy. Dude literally flatlined and got brought back to life. Yeah, and we see this time after time with all these wrestlers in that time. It's everybody was on all kinds of shit. So, but pretty wild. Good for him that he survived it. He looks great now. I mean, like I said, I don't know how old he is, but he still looks, you know, decent. Look, badass dude. I wouldn't mind hanging out with him.
I'm gonna beat Brad to the punch on this one. It seems like everybody in that episode aged really well. But Brad, thoughts on that episode?
It, for once, it's like somebody that wasn't like from the ancient times of wrestling that I could somewhat relate to. Sandman was, like Chris said, total badass. Chippendales dancer, got busted for soliciting. What do you call it? He was just a normal guy who went out and wrestled. And I like how they connected him with ECW and Paul Heyman. And he was like, hey, I forgot my boots. And Heyman was like, I don't give a shit. Like, what are you talking to me for? Go out and wrestle. Do your job. And he's like, wait a minute. I don't need my boots. I can just go out in a t-shirt and jeans. So he was like John Moxley before there was a John Moxley, you know, coming in through the crowd. And I kind of wonder if Chris's idol Stone Cold kind of ripped off a Sandman's bit. They didn't really get into that, but Stone Cold came out, you know, this in his Stone Cold Steve Austin persona, blue collar guy, cut off shorts, t-shirts, slamming beers in the ring. I don't know, it kind of stole Sandman's entrance there. You know, if I had to like connect the dots there, if I was Sandman, I'd be wanting some royalties or some credit for that. But pretty good episode. I did enjoy it. It was pretty entertaining. Kind of heartbroken that they all take the same route, you know, the pill abuse, and you know, this one at least had a fortunate, you know, happy ending where Diamond Dallas Page wasn't the one intervening to save him for the first time. Also, can we get a Dark Side with Diamond Dallas Page and all the wrestlers he's helped survive? Because that man is a saint. He needs his own episode.
Yeah,
hashtag we want DDP.
Write that.
DDP so super
for that idea.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We got connections for that.
Yeah. Maybe Knuckles can hook it up, right?
Right. great episode. Once again, like you guys always say, it's the same kind of set of circumstances with the story, and the ECW total mess. That locker room was total chaos. You know, don't forget you had all those guys that were in that locker room between Sabu, New Jack, Sandman. You see how a bad Raven was when he was there. And
it big just, blue me.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's I don't think there was a big shelf life for ECW over the long haul with that. So let's move on to one of our newer segments, Bradford. We don't have the professor here to put the tinfoil hat on, but we're going to, get our minds blown with the tinfoil hat segment. So take it away.
I don't know if it's going to blow your minds, but it'll at least get you thinking. So we all have heard that Boeing has been under fire because they've had a lot of mishaps. The door blew off, a lot of mechanical issues with their aircraft. So not too long ago, a gentleman came forward. He's an ex-employee, John Barnett. He worked for them for like 7 years. Anyway, he was filed some whistleblower protection. He had a whole list of discrepancies. He's willing to testify against Boeing. Long story short, he got Hillary Clinton, I can't say the works. I don't want YouTube to put us through their algorithm and get us banned. But you guys get the idea, right? He went to sleep one morning, woke up not alive the next morning. So people are starting to be like, well, hey, maybe there's something suspicious going on here. Fortunate for John Barnett, there's like 10 other whistleblowers who are willing to come and testify against Boeing. Well, make that 9 whistleblowers, because just the other day, another gentleman by the name of, well, let me see if I can find it. Where's his name? Joshua Dean, who is a healthy 45-year-old man, had, no medical history to speak of, contracts a mysterious infection and dies in the hospital a few days later. Two out of the 10 that testified came up dead. I'd say we got a pretty good connection here for a conspiracy, but I'm not the expert. I just go and ask AI to tell me about it when I'm bored at work, and this is the stuff I get. So you guys tell me, what do you think?
Well, you're going to have to hop on that one. What do you think, Scotty? Any thoughts on the conspiracy theory with Boeing?
Well, I just came back from Vegas, and I was flying on a Boeing, and it was about 6 hours late. So maybe there's something there. I guess, I would honestly want to know, kind of a statistically, how many times is Boeing flying, and how many times are they having these incidents? I just think of something that several of you guys will know. We have sharks on Cape Cod. We have sharks in Massachusetts all the time, right? Come July 1st.
No, we don't.
All the media is just following sharks outside of Cape Cod like it's a brand new thing. And it's because it gets people watching the TV. It gets people.
Wait, sharks are in the ocean?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that.
I know. When they're not in the ocean, they're in tornadoes. And so
very good.
Yeah.
And great so, movie, by the way.
Yeah. So I think on that one, I mean, honestly, listen to what Brad's saying. I mean, it is worrying that you've got, witnesses dying. I'm thinking of the Breaking Bad episode where like they killed like 10 of like 10 of the guys.
And they do the hit and it goes through all the prisons and it's
yeah.
Great so, episode.
I mean, I'm not thinking too much of it, but if I were one of the other 8 guys, I'd be like getting a life insurance policy out on me right about this time.
Yeah, I'd lock myself in a basement.
Chris, thoughts on the conspiracy?
Yeah, when it comes to conspiracies, I'm not, how should I say? I'm never like a denier whatsoever. I don't put anything past, especially the federal government. So, man,
That is solely Chris's opinion. not at the beginning of this podcast.
Chris will have a conspiracy theory next week for the tinfoil hat if the Bruins lose tonight.
Yeah, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah, he'll be taking over the tinfoil hat next week. We'll call it the tinfoil helmet. So let's start winding this episode down with all these UHF connections that I got over here. I got the rabbit ears. I'm trying to make that work. So, Chris, usually we have the professor do the lead-in for Purchase Street, so I guess it's up to you.
All right, let's go. I'm going to try to do this in my best radio voice. This week's album of the week is brought to you by Purchase Street Records, which is located at 53 Pope's Island, Unit 2 in New Bedford, Massachusetts. You can also visit them online at purchasestrecords.com or on their Facebook page. Purchase Street Records is Southern New England's largest independent record store. Let's send it out to Purchase Street Records.
So I guess we're going to wind this episode down. Technical difficulties this week. I apologize to Scotty. I'll take the first shout out, I guess. And I'd like to thank Scott for coming on. Hopefully we can get him back on again and kind of salvage what we're trying to do this week. Tom's missed. He's kind of the glue for the episode. Kind of lousy that I can't be seen. I can see you fine gentlemen, but my face looks like I got downs, and I'm outside of Maple Leaf Gardens. So I want to let's start the shout outs with Edward. What do you got this week?
I'd like to shout out to Scott, who is here with us tonight. It's great to see you, buddy. So awesome that the brewery's doing really well. Super excited. Happy for you. Definitely looking forward to trying some of that chocolate stout. That sounds pretty awesome. So maybe, you know, I probably won't be coming home this year just due to the fact of switching jobs. So, but, you know, when we do pass, I definitely want a six pack of that, brother. And then other than that, thank you everybody else for coming on. Brad, watch some hockey. You know, it's actually pretty good. I think you really want to watch it tonight. I think it'd be good. Chris, I think you're going to cry tonight. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
let's kick it. We're going to go with Brad next, and then I'm going to cap it off with Chris and Scott because we got the Bruins Maple Leafs things to kind of end the show on. But Bradford, what do you got for a shout out?
First, I want to shout out my little boy, Lucas, at the tournament last weekend. They kind of got knocked out in the semifinals, but not before Lucas turned a triple play at first base. It was fucking epic. I shared it on Facebook. Go watch that shit. That boy is playing his ass off at first base. I'm going to shout out Tom, the professor. Sorry he couldn't make it. I think he's at a Kentucky Derby party. He better be wearing one of the silly feathery hats. If he's not, he's missing out. I don't know why you'd go to a Kentucky Derby party and not wear a hat like that, but I don't know. We'll see. If he did, take a picture.
I think Tom's kind of kayfabing. Tonight's game 7 because last year we were watching recording when the Bruins got bounced and it was live when it happened. And it was pretty epic to be recording while the jaw dropped. Speaking of jaws dropping, Chris. Thoughts on tonight's game before it starts. And then we're going to end with Scotty. Thoughts on the game and shout out with him. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, my shout out's going to Brad Marchand because he's putting up 3 fucking goals today. Okay.
Oh, you're on drugs.
Now it's gonna be a good game. I can't wait.
What's
for it.
My turn, man?
Hey. My turn. I had enough of you today shitting on my Bruins, all right?
You still haven't answered my question. What's in the microphone?
Tom, shout out to you, buddy. Let's go. We're both members of Bruins Nation. We got this. We have to get this.
I just want to say, Brad, if you're going to watch any hockey game, tonight's the one to watch. Scotty, take us home from Toronto.
I'll do my best.
All right. Well, shout out to, honestly, the 1973 podcast. You guys are my favorite podcast that has the numbers 1973 in it.
Honestly, no. I put you on usually on Monday when I'm at work and I'm doing some other stuff and like listening to you guys and all that. And you almost got me wanting to watch wrestling. Problem I had was like when I was big into wrestling and then puberty hit and I was big into girls. And so, and then the two never shall met.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm, big. Bruin's going to do it tonight. Hopefully this ages well with this podcast. And we're going to pull it off. And they're not going to make it close. They're going to come out. Pasta's been called out. He's going to take that gap tooth and get some bunch of goals for it. So, yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, listen, we're going to make it up to you, Scotty. This episode was rushed. It was a little bit wonky. I can't believe that I got to edit this. I try to do the best job I can with it. And we're going to have to do a big makeup episode next week for episode. What number next week? Does anybody know?
65.
So we're getting 65. There.
65. Oh, so, we got to do a special one for 69.
Oh,
we got to make that one.
Idea, Bradford.
Oh. Excellent idea. Hey, good call, Bradford. That's a good call. We should do something. It'll be an all female podcast for that week. So it'll be a bunch of chicks and Chris for that week.
Oh my God.
I think the tin hat episode is going to be about why Andy was frozen and what he was actually doing during this time.
Yeah,
I can put that together. I can put that together just for you, Scott.
There we go. Investigative journalism.
Yeah.
So I know everybody's going to say attend it off. Go Leafs, go. And then we'll bring this home.